Blog Talk Radio.
We do it every night.
Every night. I live alone, but I still do it every night.
Right after dinner.
Definitely after meatloaf.
Like clockwork.
Do it. Run your dishwasher with Cascade Platinum and save water. Did you know an Energy Star certified dishwasher uses less than 4 gallons per cycle, while a running sink uses that every 2 minutes? That means even small loads can save water. So why not do it? Run your dishwasher every night with Cascade Platinum, the surprising way to save water.
We read about it in the Beauties of Literature. In a sense, Edgar Allan Poe was talking about Eros when he talked about his beautiful Annabel Lee with a love surrounded by the halo of eternity. In a sense, Shakespeare was talking about Eros when he said, love is not love, which alters whence alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. It is a star to every wandering bark. You know, I can remember that because I used to quote it to my wife when we were courting. That's Eros. That's Eros. Then the Greek language talks about phileo, which is another level of love. It is an intimate affection between personal friends. On this level, we love because we are love. We love people that we like. This is friendship. Then the Greek language has another word called agape. Agape is more than romantic love. Agape is more than friendship. Agape is not something affectionate. Agape is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. It is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart. And when one rises to love on this level, he loves men not because he likes them, but he loves every man because God loves him. He goes on with that. And so he rises to the level of hating the system rather than the individual who is caught up in that system. He loves the person and hates the evil deed. And I think this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And I'm happy that he didn't say, like your enemies, because it's pretty difficult to like some people. It's difficult to like people bombing your home and threatening your children and kicking you about. But Jesus says, love them, and love is greater than like. Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. And somehow, more and more, I've come to believe this. Yes. This is the way that we will get out of this dark night of oppression and make of this nation a better nation. It means that we can stand up and allow the opposition to know that we will not accept injustice. Yes. We will stand up against it with our lives, yes, but we will never stoop down to the level of violence and hatred. And we will come to that point when we will be able to convince him that a new world is emerging. And I tell you this evening that it will give us the right attitude. Yes. I know sometimes how discontent we get, and we have a right to get discontent, and how frustrated we get in the process sometimes. But I submit to you this evening that this way of nonviolence will help us not to seek to rise from a position of disadvantage to one of advantage, thus subverting justice. We will not substitute one tyranny for another. For black supremacy is as dangerous as white supremacy. I am convinced this afternoon that God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men and brown men and yellow men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race and the creation of a society. I believe with this method and this approach, we will be able to win. And finally, as we struggle, we do not struggle alone. It's dark sometimes. It's difficult, particularly for those who are struggling in the deep South, facing all of the violence and all of the suffering. But that is something that consoles us along the way. We are convinced that our cause is right. I return to Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, not in despair, not in bitterness. I return knowing that we are moving into a bright day of freedom. Yes. We, through our struggles, through our suffering, through our sacrifice, we'll be able to achieve the American dream. And this will be the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I come this morning to try to preach. And I would like for all of us, the men and women alike, to think with me from the subject, A Knock at Midnight. Our text this morning is taken from one of the familiar parables of our Lord and Master found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by St. Luke. It begins at the 5th verse. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed.
Yeah.
I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now this is a parable dealing with the power of persistent prayer. But one of the things we always notice about the parables of Jesus is that although they were always told to get over one basic thought, you can usually find in every parable of Jesus great facets of thought not intended as a main point. And as I look at this parable, I see within it a basic outline and a basic guide in dealing with many of the problems that we confront in our nation and in the world today, and the role of the church. Now, the first thing that we notice in this parable is that it is midnight. It is also midnight in our world today. We are experiencing a darkness so deep that we can hardly see which way to turn. It's midnight.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 9th annual Martin Luther King Jr. tribute right here on ONE Dynasty Network. I am honored to host this evening's event. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. Martin Luther King Jr., wow. He is a remarkable, and I say is, because guess what? His spirit still lives on through all of us who are activists today, for all of us who fight for justice today, for all of us who do not back down when we're told, no, it can't be done. For all of us who are constantly being a voice for justice. So with that in mind, Martin Luther King Jr., he was born January 15th, 1929. He was assassinated April 4th, 1968. He was actually born with the name of Michael King Jr. Dr. King was an American Baptist minister. He was an activist who became the most visible spokesman and leader in the American Civil Rights Movement from 1955 until his assassination in 1968. He was very, very remarkable and awesome. And I look at Dr. King and I see a lot of myself there because of his movement. And it's very hard when you're fighting for justice and you still have people that are just lost and people that are still in the dark and do not want to stand up and fight for what is right. He did not care if he was ridiculed, if he went to jail, if people were not standing with him. He would have stood alone, and I am that same way, and I thank him for paving the way today for us for so many rights. And as I look at black people today, do they really appreciate what Dr. King has done for us? You know, when he led the march and the boycott of the buses, and when Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus, and guess what? They did that for us. And for us to be able to ride on these buses and not have to go to the back. But when we look today, the first place we see black kids and people go, black go to the back of the bus. And not me. I will sit in the front because I like to be in the front. I will sit in the front of a church, in the front of a museum, in the front of a movie theater. Because guess what? Dr. King made it that way for us. So stop being pushed to the back, black people. Hear me good. Stop being pushed to the back. Stand up. Be in the front. Speak out and speak up for justice. And do not allow yourselves to be felt as though you're nothing. Because Dr. King fought for us to feel as though we were somebody. And I am somebody. I don't know about you today, but I am somebody. He fought for labor rights. He fought for desegregation. And he fought for us to vote. But where are you on election day? Where are you? We look at election days. Some of you don't go out and vote unless it's a presidential election. And that's not right. We have to vote in every election because those smaller elections are the ones that mean something in your own state, in your own city. Because when you're voting for congressmen in your state, the senators, the state representatives, then in your city, city council members, these are people that we vote into office. And we, as their constituents, they need to listen to our demands. And if they do not, we need to not vote for them again and vote them out of office and put someone in that will do the right thing for their city, for their community, and for their state. So vote every election day. And in your state, wherever you are right now, guess what? The elections are coming up this year. Some of you have them in March, some in April, and some in May, and some states have them in June for the general election. I'm sorry, for the primary election. And you need to get out and vote, people, because Dr. King paved the way for that. And now we have people today talking about taking away certain rights to vote, and they don't want prisoners to vote, and all of these other injustices that are being imposed on people of color. And now Dr. King's family, they're standing up, and they are asking and pleading with everyone to go out and vote, because this election, we're going to be voting on whether or not our rights will be taken away. So get out and vote, people. Do not let Dr. King's dream be in vain. And I give hats off and kudos to those who are out here on the front line each and every day, marching for justice, rallying for justice, lobbying and laboring for justice. And this is what Dr. King wants us to do. Those of you that have been passive, become active and aggressive. We have to activate and ignite this fire to keep it going strong, because that's what Dr. King would want, and that is what I'm doing. And I beseech and urge all of you to do the same. Be a voice. Be a voice. Be a voice. Make that choice today. We have some awesome speakers tonight. We have Tara Strength, Ava Holly, Pastor Kevin Perry, Genesis Amaris Kemp, Mr. Boston, and Angela Thomas Smith. They're going to be speaking tonight on what Dr. King means to them. And to me, Dr. King means a heck of a lot because of his work. And I guess I can say right now, I'm following in his footsteps. Never thought I would be doing this, what I do today, with advocating for the wrongfully incarcerated and for juvenile lifers and to end mass incarceration and death by incarceration, fighting for justice in America, fighting against gentrification and everything else, because we live in the United States of America, the country that I consider to be terrors of injustice. And so I'm fighting against all of that. What are you fighting against? What are you fighting for today? So with no further ado, we are going to get ready now to bring on our first speaker tonight, Mr. Terrace Strength. How are you tonight, Terrace?
I'm doing great, Cynthia. Powerful intro.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now tell us, what does Dr. King mean to you, Terrace?
All right. So, and thanks for those powerful words about Dr. King. He certainly was a king for freedom and for justice for us. So when I think about Martin Luther King, Dr. King, he had an ability to speak to the consciousness of our souls. He was able to hold white America accountable for their duality of privilege that was bestowed upon the few at the expense of the many. He was an evolved soul who fought against bigotry, segregation, oppression, racism, and held America to the hypocrisy of his slogan, home of the brave, land of the free. He represented the consciousness of this country and the need for us to see our humanity in each other. He inspired the oppressed and downtrodden to rise up and reclaim their birthright as a child of God, made in his image and worthy of love and respect. He tried to combine a perspective of militancy and moderacy to arouse positive action in blacks and whites through nonviolent protests and demonstrations. Ultimately, it was violence that ended his life despite his nonviolent position. Three things that ultimately stand out about King is citizenship, scholarship, and leadership. Citizenship is about how he confronted white America about its hypocrisy. Scholarship is about his phenomenal oratorical skills. Leadership was his ability to align and empower the masses toward social justice. I want to give 10 quick examples of his views on leadership, Chinchilla, if you don't mind. Number one, on understanding how to mold people to your goals. Dr. King said, a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus. Number two, on not throwing things in other people's faces. Dr. King said, when you are right, you cannot be too radical. When you are wrong, you cannot be too conservative. Number three, on how hard times can help true leaders shine. The measure of a man is not in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge. Number four, on how it's possible for good things to come too late. A right delayed is a right denied, said Dr. King. Number five, on using your logic and creativity to your full potential. Dr. King said, rarely do we find men who willingly engage in hard, solid thinking. There is an almost universal quest for easy answers and half-baked solutions. Nothing pains some people more than having to think. Lord, we know that's true. Number six, on being in tune with other people's emotions. Everything that we see is a shadow cast by that which we do not see. Number seven, on the importance of being part of a team. Dr. King said, we cannot walk alone. Number 8, on how no one is above another person. He said, we may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. Number 9, on standing up for what is right. Dr. King said, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must take it because his conscience tells him it is right. And finally, number 10, on how change can only happen if you work for it. He said, change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And so in closing, I just want to say in closing, rest easy, Brother King. Like all of the enlightened beings who have returned home before you, you were the spark that reminded all of us that we are indeed one. Know your strength, family. Thanks to you.
Thank you so very much, Terrace. That was awesomely amazing. Thank you for sharing with us what Dr. King meant to you. We're going to bring on our next speaker now, Miss Ava Holly. How are you tonight, Ava?
How are you, Miss Tinchilla? Great to hear your beautiful voice. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with you guys. And you speak so eloquently.
Oh, my. Thank you. Thank you, Ava. So tell us tonight, Ava, what does Dr. Martin Luther King mean to you?
Well, as we all know and heard again from you, that Dr. King died in April of 68. I was only 7 years old. I remember seeing him on our black and white TV. You had to get up and walk over and change the channel. I remember learning more about him through school. I know that he was a man who commanded his audience in such a way for him to release his message of peace. And Chinchilla Jay just reminded us that Dr. King made the path, led the path, opened up the doors for a lot of things. Now, I'm a huge Elvis fan. Elvis did a show called the 68 Comeback Show. Well, it came to be known as the 68 Comeback Show. The last song that he did on that show was written especially for a tribute to Dr. King. And Elvis was saddened. He was shaken by Dr. King's death. And the performance was just riveting. Now, again, I was only 7 years old when that happened. I didn't even see or absorb a lot of that stuff until a little bit later in life. I mean, he was just obsessed over the reality of the situation. And there's a line in the song, and the song's called If I Could Dream, and there's a line in the song that says, where all my brothers walked hand in hand. That's exactly what Dr. King talked about in his famous speech. We're still like working and walking the walk of his words. When I hear his name, it reminds me that we are still working his dream. For me, it's so important to keep recognizing the work that he did. Not only that was it spiritually as a minister, but it was globally to reach people, to open doors. We need to keep educating those coming up so that his legacy is not only learned, but it's understood. So for me, Dr. King means hope. And I'm not talking about just, you know, the sit around and wait for kind of hope. Yet the idea of keeping what you stand for out for people to see and hear. He was truly an inspiration.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. No, I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it. We shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome.
Before the victory is won, some would be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the corner.
Wow. Awesome. Another awesome speech by Dr. King. And guess what, people, tonight, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. That was said by Dr. King at a rally at a college, and that is so very profound. Keep pushing forward in the fight for justice. Let's bring on our next two speakers. Our first of the next two will be Pastor Kevin Perry. Pastor Perry, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you this evening?
I am just fine. Thank you so much. Pastor Perry, tell us tonight, what does Dr. King mean to you?
Well, first I would say that, you know, the great man that he was, and as you said, as he is, because of the legacy that he has passed on. You know, I believe that if he were alive today, I think he would be very disappointed in us as a people in where we are, because, you know, we have not fully, as a people, lived up to his dream. You know, with the violence that's going on in our neighborhoods and in our cities, with some of the passiveness that is shown, like, yes, we come together when we see injustice, when it comes to police, white police officers killing black men. We come together for that. But yet, we don't come together to support our neighborhoods. We don't come together to support our black-owned businesses. We don't come together to support, you know, but we don't display the unity that he talked about, even in the speeches that Brother O is playing tonight. So I just believe that he would be disappointed. And it's not something that we can't overcome, because that's what his message was, that we can overcome. And it wasn't just the oppression. It wasn't just the bigotry. It wasn't just the racism. It was just overcoming any and every obstacle that was placed in front of us as a people. But we had to be willing to face up against every obstacle, not just ones we pick and choose, but every obstacle, even if it's against our own. So, you know, what he meant to me, you know, when he talked about, you know, loving, you know, your neighbor, not necessarily liking them, because, yes, it's not easy to like people all the time, especially those who are, you know, causing you trouble and trials and persecution. But love is easy, because love means that I can love you from a distance. It doesn't mean I have to be up in your face. You have to be up in mine. But I can love you from a distance. So if we can just get back to the core and not just look at, you know, this day, his birthday, as just another holiday or another day off, But if we can really get back to the core value and meaning of what he stood for, what he represented, then I think that would be the start of us coming together as a people as he wanted us to.
Yes, that's very awesome. Very awesome, Pastor Perry. And I definitely like what you said, because I agree with you. He would be terribly disappointed in so many of us today for not following his dream, not following in his footsteps. And it's such a crying shame today. And thank you so much, Pastor Perry, for telling us what Dr. King meant to you. Next, we have Genesis Amaris Kemp. How are you tonight, Genesis?
Good evening, Chinchilla J. I am doing well tonight, and thank you so much for hosting this show. You're doing a good job. I have so much gratitude and words of expression to say about Dr. Martin Luther King, but I'm going to keep it brief to be respectful of the time commitment. When I think of Martin Luther King, as a millennial, one thing that stood out to me was Dr. King, he was so passionate about helping his people for getting equality and human rights, but he was also passionate about helping those who did not look like him. He did it in a peaceful manner. He allowed his voice to be ignited because he wanted to be the change that he wanted to see. He wanted to shake the atmosphere while leaving an imprint, and that imprint, it surely drove an impact. And now we see Dr. Martin Luther King as a world changer today. Dr. Martin Luther King, he remained true to himself, and he did not let his core values go because others wanted him to behave a certain way. He remained steadfast to get his message across while also believing in his faith and his religious beliefs. He did not let that go unwaver. And so many times whenever you are doing something great, the naysayers, the critics, and the haters will come out and try to talk you out of your greatness. But he stood there because he knew there was a mission, and that mission was greater than him. The mission was to help people of all nations, to also be that voice to the voiceless, to be that man, to be legendary, and to also go without leaving a speck of blemish. One thing that really stood out was his "I Have a Dream" speech, because how many of us on this earth have a dream? How many of us are turning those dreams into realities? How many of us are ensuring that we put a date next to those dreams so we can hold ourselves accountable? Each one of us was created for greatness. So if you listen and listen attentively to when he gives that "I have a dream" speech, it should ignite something inside of you. And when I think about how powerful that speech was, and it's played years and years and years after his passing, it was authentic. It packed a punch and memorable. And it was not in vain. Even though he passed due to tragic, his words, his legacy, his power, his dreams, everything still lives on. So he was an iconic man. He was and he still is, because many people say his name day in and day out, and they live up to what he has put down on earth. And that's what you talk about when you have legends that have gone before you and that are no longer here. You see their imprint, but you also see that tied to their imprint, their impacts. And those impacts are allowing it to be world-changing. So, and all in all, Dr. Martin Luther King, the mission, and that I'm so proud that I could have read about. He was a man that was iconic to the Black and Brown community, but also to other people who resonated with the words that he put down. They picked them up, and he did it peacefully. He didn't have to get downright dirty and nasty. He allowed his demeanor to speak for himself. His actions carried weight. And that's a little bit about what Martin Luther King means to me and how I choose to summarize it. So many other gems to share, but I'm going to leave that there for now. And I hope the next speaker picks up where I left off.
For allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing, and I said, "Yes." And the next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter. It came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. It said, "Senator, dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960 when students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in Albany, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. The black people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me. Now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, "We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane, and to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night." And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out, or what would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Another awesome, awesome speech by Dr. King. Here's a fact of Dr. King. During his junior year in high school, Morehouse College, an all-male, historically black college that his father and his maternal grandfather had attended, they began accepting high school juniors that passed the school's entrance examination. And at that time, World War II was underway, and many black college students had been enlisted in the war, which decreased the number of students at Morehouse College. So the university aimed to increase their student numbers by allowing junior high school students to apply. In 1944, at the age of 15, King passed the entrance examination and was enrolled in the university for the school season that autumn. He played freshman football there, and the summer before his last year at Morehouse in 1947, when he was 18, he chose to enter the ministry. King graduated from Morehouse College with a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology in 1948. At the age of 19. That is very, very awesome. Now let's bring on our final two speakers for the night. Our first is Mr. Boston. How are you tonight, Mr. Boston?
Oh, you know I'm doing okay. You know this is a product of Damien Network. This is that one O-N-E on air. You know we live from Lagos. You know what I'm saying? So y'all, you know, y'all want to chime in, y'all call in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Welcome, everyone, to the Dr. Martin Luther King Celebration.
All right, Mr. Boston.
Yeah,
go.
You
way
know
go,
what
bro.
Time it is.
Yeah. Now, tell us, because I am just eager to know tonight what Dr. King means to you.
Wow. You know, we all know that King had that dream. And many of us see that dream as if it was just for our people. Yet it was a dream to bring all people to an equality table, to realize the conditions of race relations in America and around the entire globe. 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, you know. So what King did was he situated the civil rights movement within a broader landscape of history without borders. And when you look at it as time present, time past, and we're looking at it in the future, but then the timeless vistas of Scripture. And King showed us sobering assessment of our current social injustices to a vision of hope. And he maintained that vision for a more diverse America where all people could enjoy the benefits of equality. And he did all of this during a time when white people controlled government. And every time that he tried to do something to make life better on equal terms, the opposition would implement laws that took our rights from us, from the people of color, and then they expressed their discontent for us by beating us and killing us. But yet King understood the impact of unifying the masses for a common goal. I mean, you know, you have to really look at the whole to see the center, because King was a, I guess you could say he was a testament to the transformative powers of a man with magic in his words. You know, Dr. King had a vision. He had a vivid imaginary mind, you know, and then he supported his mind with his writing, and he used all of his writings to help quell the suffering of African Americans in the context of Scripture. And so, you know, he was so good at what he did. He could make an argument and make you sit down with that argument. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's you know, Dr. King's legacy provides a real model for how we are to combat equality in these days and time. And it was in those speeches, if you really listen to those speeches and you read between the lines, he was telling us that we can't, even though he's gone, and you listen to those speeches are telling us that we can't get comfortable in our current state of living. It's because it's going to be our youngsters coming behind us is going to see us, and they are relying on us to keep this fight going for these inequalities that we're experiencing today. So all I can say to Dr. King is rest in peace. You know, Dr. King, rest in peace. But I have something for him, though. It's called I Remember Him. I remember him, how his words swept the land, singing our passion. Dogs growled in streets, men in sheets, police battering our people, water a weapon. Yet my people would rejoice and mourn. I remember him, a fearsome warrior crying peace, a man blemished by clay, the stains of sin as any other, calling on the rock. death sickled on his coattails, yet he spied glory. Shall we walk again and remember him? Not as the Madison Avenuers do, but in solitude and hope, with acts of courage and compassion, with lives of greater scope, carving fresh paths of righteousness. I remember. What happened to the dream deferred? Does it dry up like raisins in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust the sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sagged like a heavy load, or does it explode? I remember him. I remember him from the first protest to the march upon Washington to I Have a Dream. The soldier, the fighter, the man who gave us the blueprint to fight rape and rot and graft and stealth and lies that we the people must redeem. We must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plains of pain. Black man and black woman, black women and men of vision, women and black men of hope, bent over cotton or sweet potatoes, or pool tables and baseball diamonds, playing for a chance to live free and breathe easy and have enough money to take care of the folks they love. Black people, what happened to the dream? Yes, I remember him as if it was yesterday. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. Rest in peace. Some of us still carry your dream in peace.
Wow, that was totally, totally awesome, Mr. Boston, and I was just sitting on the edge of my chair waiting to hear you do some spoken words, some poetry, and yes, you really brought it. You really brought it. Thank you so much. Our next and final speaker of the evening is none other than Ms. Angela Thomas-Smith. How are you tonight, Angela?
Wow, I'm great. I'm just sitting over here like, how am I coming off of all of this tonight? Like, my co-hosts are amazing. We have some amazing people on this network, and I value their thoughts. I value their opinions and their perspective. I tell you, Tara's strength comes with the 10 powerful points. Then you had Ava. She comes and she shared 7-year-old childhood memory, black and white TV. Had to walk up, push it to change the channel.
Yes.
Then Pastor Perry come on, and he reminds us that, you know, really, have we progressed? Have we progressed? We are not walking in unity. And would Dr. Martin Luther King be proud of us? And then you have Genesis that come on with her amazing gems. Woo! Mr. Boston, he talk about, after you shared Martin Luther King's intellectual endeavors at Morehouse, AUC, HBC, represent, using his words and his intelligence to reach people, not just the brown people, but people all over this world, and reminding us to stay woke. It's okay to dream. I'm thankful for this show tonight, Brother O. Thank you for doing this. I'm honored to share tonight, so thank you. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., agape love is what he talked about in one of the clips that Brother O shared. Wow. Being from the South, living between South Carolina and Georgia all my life, the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a staple. He was a hero to the kids growing up. Visiting the Martin Luther King Center in the Auburn Avenue community, I am thankful for his life and his legacy. He taught many of us that dreams were not mere illusions, but they do come true. I often hear people say, dreams are not real. According to Google, there's 20 scriptures in the Bible on dreams. I would like to briefly leave you with this, to educate, empower, and encourage you to keep dreaming your way to purpose. In Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Don't stop dreaming. Your dream could be the vision that's needed to change and impact lives around this world. Now do you see why it's necessary to rest and sleep? Why they recommend 8 hours? Now I tell you, get your sleep on and allow God to speak to you. The second scripture I want to leave you with comes from Numbers 12 and 6. He say, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, Lord, reveal myself to them in vision, and I speak to them in dreams. Stop allowing people to be dream killers in your life. Jeremiah 1 and 5 reminds me that our talents and our gifts would be the thing that would prophesy to this world. We don't have to open our mouths. Our actions will speak for us. Stop sitting down on God. Keep dreaming. Dream with vision, because dreams do come true if you want them to. I'm going to leave y'all with this. Dream to me. The D. Be determined, dedicated to the cause that God has called you to. Not what people say, but what God has called you to in this realm. Stop sitting down. The R, resilience. That will, inner will, the strength inside of you that won't let you quit or give up. You're called to purpose. Stop letting that ego, that E, get in the way. Stop letting problems and distractions encourage you to give in and give up instead of overcoming. Ego has no place. It will keep you in bondage. The A is attitude. The attitude of love is what you need. Love covers a multitude of things. Love draws. What you put in always come out in your actions. I leave you with this. M, master the plan that God has for your life. Know that you didn't get dropped out of the sky. Jeremiah 29 and 11 is real. He had a plan for you. So go, get moving, and get motivated to walk in purpose. You have been prepared, positioned, and postured just for this time, because Dr. Martin Luther King and many others before us had a dream. What will your legacy be? Remember, he said, stand tall so no one can ride your back. I am the Queen of Collaboration, Angela Thomas Smith. Thank you for this opportunity, Brother O. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace. Soul generated by love. And you can be that servant.
Wow. Another awesome speech by Dr. King. And I want to thank all of the wonderful 6 speakers that we had tonight, all hosts here on the ONE Network Dynasty. They were all amazingly awesome, and you see why they're hosts on this network. Right now, we're going to take the caller, and for those of you that are just tuning in, I am Chinchilla J, your host for the 9th annual Martin Luther King Jr. tribute. Caller number one, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
Peace and blessings, Chinchilla.
Hi, how are you, Sister Bessie?
Hi, sweetheart.
Hey.
I wanted to say what Martin Luther King meant to me. Martin Luther King was a wonderful man. He showed the world what love could be. The spirit of this man was so great to me. He showed us and the world what courage was in the face of danger. He stood tall no matter what obstacles stood in his way. He overcame for all of us. He showed us that the Most High loved all races and that you can change if you wanted to. And
wow.
I would like to say the poem that I wrote the last time that we honored him, if that's okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Bessie.
Never forget the message. This black king wanted peace of all men. Civil rights was his fight. Through this, he made his people fight for their rights. Know this, that he gave his life as he saw his own brothers use a knife to stab him in the back. Never forget the message. Your own government plotted to make him not. Never forget the message as they pointed at the trees while he was shot. Never forget the message, because this is what they've done to all of our ancestors who spoke against all injustice. Don't forget they still have us in a matrix of the races. Even though Brother Smoke spoke with the wisdom, we can never forget who he was and how they tried to destroy him. But he was a man of peace. Martin Luther King, we must never forget about him and be proud to know him. Never forget the message. Never forget the message he gave to the world, hope where there was none. Never forget the message. Never forget the message.
Wow, that was awesome. Thank you so much, Sister Betsy, for calling in tonight and sharing with us what Dr. King meant to you and what he means to you. Thank you so much. We're going to go to our next caller, and those of you that are listening and want to know how you can call in or how you can get on here and say what Dr. King means to you, all you have to do is press 1. And if you're listening via the World Wide Web, dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. Caller, you're live on the air tonight. Tell us who you are and what Dr. King means to you.
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and I want to say, hi. I just want to say Dr. King means what he means to me. He represented love, and he showed African Americans that we were worthy of self-love and how important it was to translate that into action. And he provided dynamic and brave leadership in pursuing that mandate that comes from the Creator. And he also represents the importance of community, because he saw that in order to achieve what we needed to achieve, the peace, the equality, and safety in our community, that we had to pull together as a community through information and galvanizing ourselves and organizing ourselves. You know, those are three critical components, the love, the leadership, and the community, that are so important. I grew up watching him. I was born a year after he was killed, but I grew up knowing the man as if he lived, you know, during my lifetime. And so I've seen how important it is to keep his legacy alive. And I pray that we will continue to do that for our children and our children's children. And I want to congratulate O and E for doing what you do, doing this show. I think it's such an important show, and that not only do you do it on this show, but all the other shows that you all do, all the speakers tonight, Mr. Boston, Genesis and Mars Kemp, you, Sister Chinchilla, Sister Bessie, Tara Strength, you all have contributed to keeping his legacy alive. And I just want to thank you and encourage you to continue to be the brilliant points of light that you all are each week, each month. Thank you.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for calling in tonight and sharing with us what Dr. King means to you and for acknowledging all of the hosts here on O&E Dynasty. Thank you so much. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the air tonight. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what Dr. King means to you. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Hello, hi. How are you?
Hey, this is Mo Love. I'm calling in.
Hey, how are you, Mo Love?
I'm great. I'm representing Mo Love and Mo Payne. We calling in on an internship with ONE, the Damon Network. Looking at it from the looking glass, boy. I got something to say. Listen, I got a little serious. This is Mo Love. Look, Linda. I know you, my elder, and I got mad respect, so I don't want anyone to misunderstand Mo Love. Mo Love ain't nothing about the love. She respect her elders, and she respect her loved ones, and she ain't got nothing but love for her family. So this word she got is called Let Freedom Ring, because it's what it is. And listen, I'm dedicating this to everyone who came before me. Who paved the way for me, who made this possible for me to even speak and to have the ideas, the thoughts, and the platform to speak on. I dedicate that and all of this to them. It's called Let Freedom Ring. Dr. King is who he is and is exactly what he be. That's my father. I'm that daughter. I'm the first of many to come. My name is actually Yolanda, his real daughter, but I'm according to the DNA, because that's all that we bother. We are more than what we see and more than we could ever be. When freedom rings, everything going to be set free. From the mountaintop to the valley low. You ain't never heard the unheard word, though. King set it forth, and all his children is going to set it free. And I just so happen to be among one of them. And I count it a privilege. So to everyone that can hear and everyone that know, freedom is what we be. Freedom is what we know. I'm going to keep it true to what I keep it real. It ain't no me without you. And that's the only way we can chill. This world is too big for one of us to try to overcome. But together, we can make freedom ring, and we can make this thing run. There ain't no me without you. But together, we can make it do what our daddy said it could do. Our daddy, if you didn't know, he Dr. King because he the truth. And we all follow him because our words are true. We all the unheard word. We the truth in the booth. It ain't no competition, because it ain't no me without you. So 2022 is all about unity, and that's what Dr. King brought to us. We the truth. We the result of what he put up and what he laid down. No one knew what he was doing then. But we feel it now. With everybody we lost, we still bounce back somehow. Because the dream ain't been told, and we still marching to let them know the truth. Everybody needs to know. All of us is part of this. We the unspoken word. We the truth in the booth. I love everybody and what they dedicate to this. There is no me without you. And that's my unheard word. I'm more love. And that's the truth in my booth. Whether you like it or not, it's what it is. And it ain't
all
no
right.
love without pain. Listen, it ain't no love without pain. And here you go.
All
more
right.
pain. Listen, Mo Payne got a lot to say, though.
All
he
right, Mo Payne, how are you tonight? What does Dr. King mean to you?
He said it ain't no words to say after that, my lady. He said
okay,
I said
all right.
too much, though. But listen.
Okay, wow. That's surprising. But thank you so much, Mo Love, Mo Payne. Thank you so much for sharing tonight what Dr. King means to you. We're going to go to our next caller. Caller, you're live on the air tonight. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what does Dr. Martin Luther King mean to you?
Hi, it's Jerry Petito. I have
hey,
a sore throat, but I'm going to do my best, sweetheart. First of all, I want to say
okay.
you're doing an amazing job. I mean, amazing. I have a poem that I wrote last year. Brother O asked me to read it tonight, which I'm going to
okay.
do in a minute. But what I want to say is this. What people don't understand is, I mean, I grew up, you know, I don't care. I'll be 61. I don't care about telling my age. When I grew up, we celebrated that man. We celebrated that man like no other. And to this day, me and my family do. And what people need to understand is this, no matter what we do, I go to Trenton with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I've protested in Trenton, but nothing compared to what that man did. Him and Rosa Parks, I mean, what they did, we don't have the strength to do what they did. Okay, we're just following. That man opened the doors for everything that goes on today. And I love him so much. It took me hours and hours last year. I researched his whole life. So now I would like for everyone to really listen to this poem because it's everything he is. Martin Luther King Jr. Today we celebrate in memory of the beautiful man who portrayed love. This man I speak of, the world does know, Martin Luther King Jr., not a stone would throw. January 15, 1929, Michael King Jr. was born, but in 1934, his new name would be worn. His father, a Baptist pastor in Germany, heard this man, Martin Luther, was speaking, is where this change began. So inspired by Martin Luther, a Protestant reform leader, his dad knew right then Michael would be a succeder. In honor of that speaker, Michael's name was now changed. Martin Luther's now his name. His fate was prearranged. I'm sure that God inspired the choice his dad had made. Martin Luther King Jr. began his life crusade. Martin became the leader, Afro-American Civil Rights Crusade. He led nonviolent protests, freedom, peace, and equality to be made. King was a Baptist minister, but the most important voice of all, the American Civil Rights Movement, without him, would have dropped the ball. In 1955, he was awarded his doctorate. Boston University was the school. Philosophy and Systematic Theology, Martin Luther King, you rule. The Montgomery bus boycott he had led after the arrest of Rosa Parks, refused to give up her seat to a white man throwing remarks. I tip my hat to her for bravery she had shown. She started something needed. Back then, she was alone. All females should respect her for what she did was great. Not only was she black and a woman who men did hate. Martin Luther King's my hero on levels I can't comprehend. He worked for equal rights. God created all he defend. King is famous for many quotes, but the one the world won't forget, I have a dream, belonged to him through his tears, his blood, and sweat. The day he delivered this speech, August 28, 1963, the march in Washington for jobs and rights to have racism flee. The dream that he... That dream that he had was for his own kids, to live in a nation not to be judged, not by skin color or their flaws, but by character that isn't smudged. Others were using violence. Martin Luther King never did. Nonviolent resistance was his. The man in the mirror never hid. 1964 was the year a Nobel Prize he won for his civil rights work. His job was so well done. At the age of 35, the youngest one back then to be given the Nobel Prize, was amazing to all men. He also entered college at the age of young 15. God gave him such talent the world now sure has seen. Born 1929 and taken away too soon, 1968 was the year the world cried a heartfelt tune. In 1983, Ronald Reagan was the man who signed Martin Luther King Day, observed in parts of the world because this man gave love away. James Earl Ray is the man who took his life. United States cities rioted. All were filled with strife. James Earl Ray loved Hitler, as evil as they both were, wanting white supremacy. Extreme evil now would stir. Earthly justice did prevail. 99 years James Earl would serve. He took his last breath in prison, meeting Satan, which he deserved. He also met his hero, Adolf Hitler. Imagine that. Now they both can party in hell under Satan's wrath. As King walked out on the balcony, to Ben he said these words, "Make sure you play. Take my hand, precious Lord," were his final words that day. Ben was his friend and musician to play at his speaking affair. Imagine God hearing those words. In God's hands he's placed with care. Let's end with this tonight. A few more quotes I will share. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. In the end we will remember, chills down my spine it sends, not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in memory of you today, all of us say thank you for leading and showing the way. That's how I feel about that man.
Wow, that is very awesome, Jerry. Thank you so, so much. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Calling in and sharing that wonderful poem with us tonight. This time we're going to hear from our O&E commissioner, Ebony Darnstark. How are you tonight, Ebony?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I am truly, truly enjoying the show. You're doing a great job hosting Chinchilla. Very, very proud of you.
Thank you. So tell us, what does Dr. Martin Luther King mean to you, Ms. Commissioner?
Oh, wow. That is so hard to sum up in words, but he definitely represents perseverance, dedication. He didn't take no for an answer, and he was the epitome of being a gentleman. Everything was done peacefully, and he didn't allow society to tell him what he cannot do, which teaches me to don't let society tell me what I can't do or what I should do. I move with my heart, and I do what God tells me to do, whether it's okay with man or not.
Yes. Wow. Awesome, Ebony. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing tonight and calling in and tuning
thank
in to this ninth annual. What'd you say, Ebony?
I said thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. And, wow, Martin Luther King, I just thank everybody for calling in, sharing what Dr. King means to you, because he was very, very awesome. And, you know, at the age of 35, when he received that Nobel Peace Prize, he was the youngest to ever receive it, and that was in 1964. And why did he receive it? For his nonviolent struggle for civil rights for blacks here in America. And along with that Nobel Peace Prize, I want you all to know that he also received a check in the amount of $54,123. And guess what he did with that check? He donated the entire thing to numerous organizations that were fighting at that time for civil rights. A great humanitarian, a great civil rights activist, a great peacemaker. Oh, wow. Dr. King, I salute you tonight on your 93rd birthday, which your actual birthday was on the 15th, but we salute you tonight. We salute you, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And at this time, we're going to hear from our producer and ONE Network owner, Brother O.
Well, first of all, my mother and Dr. King shared the same birth year of 1929. From both, you know, of course, Dr. King, you know, his spirit will live on. My mom, April 14th, 1929. I would say tonight that this is one of the greatest shows I've ever had in this network's history. And to me, the greatest annual tribute of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King means everything to me. Truth crushed to earth shall rise again. But the greatest thing he ever said to me was, behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows. Keep a watch upon his own. I understand that tonight because keeping this network together, it seems like behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows. Dr. King and his eloquence. As a little boy, I remember talking to my parents. I never shared this with anyone. Only people that ever knew this was, you know, was my parents. And I saw at 5 years old this man speaking. And I was moved at that time. And I said, oh, you know, I saw, you know, a little calendar. And I saw at that time in the 70s, you know, you saw, you know, President's Day and all these days you saw different faces. But on the 15th, it wasn't a holiday yet, on the 15th, you saw Dr. King. And I said, Mom, that's Dr. King. She said, yeah. I said, oh, wow, he's alive. And my mom said, no, Dr. King is gone. He's not here. I said, what do you mean, Mom? It was the first time I ever known death. Mom said, no, he was killed. I said, Mommy, what? Mom, what do you mean? He was killed. And I looked at all different, I went into my dad's library and looked at different Life magazines and Ebony magazines, and I saw it, you know, 1929, 1968. Then I started to read about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, what he did in those 13 years from 1955 to 1968. Thank God that I was an intelligent child, I was able to read. At 5 years old, I was reading at a fourth grade level. And I was able to read and understand his legacy. Folks, we do not count it robbery what we've done for the last 9 years to celebrate this man. I'm so proud to be a part of this outstanding network and all of the charter members that were a part of that legacy. Lovely Ellis, Louis Devon, Peter and Precious Patterson, Antonia Batts, you know, Darlene Lawrence, our first ever Hall of Famer. It means a lot to me tonight because I'm filled with emotion of people that helped build this network. I'm filled with emotion of all of the achievers of this network. I'm filled with emotion to be able to produce this show. We must honor Dr. King every single day of our lives. This year, we're honoring a lot of people. Again, we're going to be honoring the great Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. And for the first time, with the help of Edward Burks, we'll be honoring Marcus Garvey in August. This network honors two outstanding holidays. We honor Kwanzaa and we honor Juneteenth. There will not be any shows on June 19th, 2022. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the leadership in Nigeria. My cousin Fashine, thank you for holding it down through this pandemic. Running our network from Lagos. My mother would be so proud, and she is proud of you and what you've done on a constant basis for me back home in our native country. We must come together We heard a lot of things tonight. Can we be better as a human race? Who do you think Bakasuna says it best? Are we living beings or human beings? Let us be human beings, understanding the love and the compassion of those who have lived and some have faced physical death for freedom, equality, and the love of man. We must be better. Only Dynasty has a motto. There's no time for rebuilding. For rebuilding affords no such luxury. Time and time again, we must retool for a commitment to excellence. I believe that. I believe that. In 2013, I promised that we would be the greatest internet radio network of all time. Not only did I achieve it, but I also succeeded it. And it is something to behold. Almost 9 years at Beverly Nation, almost 6 years at Damon Network, we have pledged to give you uncensored, unadulterated love of broadcasting. It will continue. It shall continue. So help me God. There is no advertising tonight. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malewa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I love you all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio, our soldiers and sailors who labor on a constant basis. We give you the 2021 Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year, the outstanding anchor of our news forum, Miss Chinchilla J, for her final comments, and also the outstanding benediction.
Thank you so much, Brother O. Wow, this was an amazing show tonight. And with what's going on with the voter thing that's going on across this country right now, I just want to share this really quick with you all. You know, it was back in 1964 when a coalition of civil rights groups, it was about 1,000 student volunteers, they converged in Mississippi to register African-American, well, blacks to vote. And it turned so violent because of all of the racism there. There were 1,000 arrests, 35 shootings, 30 people were bombed, 30 buildings were bombed, 35 churches were burned, 80 beatings, and at least 6 murders took place. And that following year, the focus was on the plight of black voters in the South, and civil rights leaders, including Dr. King, he conducted that march. They marched to Selma, from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama on March 25th in 1965, and they vowed to continue fighting for the right to vote, to earn and learn, all without racial barriers. And now what's going on today is just horrible because they're trying to take your voter rights away again. And his son, Martin Luther King III, him and his wife, his 13-year-old daughter, they all went to Phoenix, Arizona, and they marched, and they fought and talked and spoke. He took the podium, and his speech was about his dad and what his dad did and why it's important to keep your voters' rights. And one of the profound things he said was, no celebration without legislation. So for all you that's planning on celebrating all of these pagan holidays that's coming up, don't. Okay, don't celebrate those. Okay, we need legislation in place to preserve your voter rights. And something else he said that really left me in awe, he said that our daughter has less rights around voting than she had when she was born. I can't imagine what my mother and my father would say about that. I'm sure they're turning over and over in their graves about this. So people, don't allow them to take your votes away, your rights away to vote. Dr. King worked too hard, and he lost his life because of all the things he put in place, he tried to do for us. And where are you today? What are you doing today that he paved the way and you're doing nothing? We need to speak up and speak out about every injustice that is imposed upon black and brown people here in the United States of America, because Dr. King, like his son said, is turning over and over again in his grave because of the way blacks in America are behaving today. And it's very sad. It is very sad. So that was 57 years ago when he led that march. And for what? I mean, don't let what he did be in vain, people. Wake up, Black America. Wake up. And Dr. King, one of his quotes, he said, "In the end, we all should not remember the words of our enemies, because we shouldn't." You know, the words about enemies, they should mean absolutely nothing to us, because we know that there are haters out there, people that are jealous, people that are racist. But in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And what does Dr. King mean by that? Well, the silence of our friends is what we're going to remember. For those of you that have loved ones that are wrongfully incarcerated and people that are neighbors and call themselves friends and call themselves families, if they're sitting back being silent and saying and doing nothing to fight for justice on behalf of a friend, on behalf of a loved one, or just fighting for justice because it's the right thing to do. I don't care if you don't have anybody that's not experiencing or that, yeah, that if they're not experiencing any injustices, great. But guess what? There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in this country that are experiencing injustices every day. And guess what? As long as you're black, as long as you're brown, as long as you're poor, you're going to experience injustice over and over and over again. But what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit back and be quiet and say and do nothing? No. The answer should be no. So do not sit and do nothing. You have to be a voice, because we will remember the silence of our friends. I am Chinchilla Donesia. Thank you for tuning in to the 9th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tribute right here on the ONE Dynasty Network. Good night.